Hare Krishna, we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 16, the pastimes of the Lord in his childhood and youth. So we'll speak today about Keshava Kashmiri. Okay, let's see. Tabe Vishnu Priya Takura Niraparinaya. Tabeta Karila Prabhu Digvijaya Jaya.
Tabeta Karila Prabhu Digvijaya Jaya.
It sounds very melodious. I mean, not when I chant, but in general, it sounds quite nice.
It's poetry.
It's poetry, yeah. It sounds like. Tabe. After this. Vishnu Priya.
Vishnu Priya.
Takuranira, of the goddess of fortune, Parinaya, marriage, Tabeta, thereafter, Karila, did, Prabhu, the Lord, Digvijay, the champion, Jaya, conquer. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Then Lord Chaitanya married Vishnu Priya, the goddess of fortune, and thereafter he conquered a champion of learning named Keshava Kashmiri. Purport. As in the modern day there are many champions in sports, so in bygone days there were many learned scholars in India who were champions in learning. One such person was Keshava Kashmiri, who came from the state of Kashmir. He traveled all over India and at last came to Navadvip to challenge the learned scholars there. Unfortunately, he could not conquer the learned scholars in Navadvip, for he was defeated by the boy scholar Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he surrendered unto him and later became a pure Vaishnava in the Sampradaya of Nimbarka. He wrote Kaustubha Prabha, a commentary on the Vedanta commentary of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, which is known as Parijata Bhashya. The Bhakti Ratnakara mentions Keshava Kashmiri and lists his predecessors in the disciplic succession of the Nimbarka Sampradaya: Srinivasa Acharya, Vishva Acharya, Purushottama, Vilasa, Svarupa, Madhava, Balabhadra, Padma, Shyama, Gopala, Kripa, Deva Acharya, Sundarabhata, Padmanabha, Upendra, Ramachandra, Vamana, Krishna, Padmakara, Shravana, Buri, Madhava, Shyama, Gopala, Balabhadra, Gopinata, Keshava, Gokula, and Keshava Kashmiri. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakara that Keshava Kashmiri was a favorite devotee of Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning. By her grace, he was an extremely influential scholar and was the greatest champion among all the scholars in the four corners of the country. Therefore, he got the title Digvijayi, which means one who has conquered everyone in all directions. He belonged to a very respectable Brahmana family of Kashmir. Later, by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave up the profession of winning championships and became a great devotee. He joined the Nimbarka Sampradaya, one of the Vaishnava communities of the Vedic culture. So we find from the purport that Keshava Kashmiri was a very learned scholar. And as it happens, many cases, these very learned people, they become very proud. That's sometimes comes to the with the package. And Srila Prabhupada explains also in the purport that as nowadays they have tennis and football championships, now in that times they had debates on Shastra. So Keshava Kashmiri was quite expert in this. This incident is explained in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. But since Srila Prabhupada gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's enough details here, so we can speak something. So we see Keshava Kashmiri comes to Navadvip and he hears about Nimai Pandit. And he says, you know, like that's his occupation. He's just going around challenging people. Okay, let's have a debate. Let's have a fight. Like nowadays, they have this fighting promotions, and then everyone is there. Is like, oh, he's going, I want to fight you. So Keshava Kashmiri is doing a bit that, but different tools. So then it says, I'll just read some verses and then some comments some from 28 on, and then comment, and then we'll read some more verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, once on a full moon night, the Lord was sitting on the bank of the Ganges with his many disciples and discussing literary topics. This is quite important details. But that the Lord was with his disciples. You know, when you challenge someone in front of his disciples, you know, it can be can be quite interesting. Coincidentally, Keshava Kashmiri came there while offering his prayers to Mother Ganges. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord received him with adoration, but because Keshava Kashmiri was very proud, he talked to the Lord very inconsiderately. So Lord Chaitanya is very respectful to this great scholar. And then Keshava Kashmiri is like, ah. So he says, Keshava Kashmiri just goes straight to the point. He's not, hi, how are you? He says, I understand that you are a teacher of grammar, he said, and that your name is Nimai Pandit. People speak very highly of your teaching of beginner's grammar. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was famous for teaching grammar to students, and therefore Keshava Kashmiri first referred to his position as a teacher of grammar. Keshava Kashmiri was very proud of his literary career. He was far above the first lessons of grammar. And so he thought the position of Nimai Pandit and not at all comparable to his own. So he was addressing, oh, you're teaching some first grade grammar, which is a way to say you have no idea what you're talking about here. You know, like, so then he says something more, and then Srila Prabhupada explained more that. Keshava Kashmiri is in this mood that, okay, you're teaching this beginner's grammar. I'm very learned. How can we discuss Shastras? And this is very interesting, you know, sometimes you get this challenge. One first thing is we have to be very intelligent in to pick the right fights. You know, like sometimes many people come and they want to debate with you. And sometimes sometimes you have to answer and sometimes not. So for example, there was this the very learned scholar, and he was also a sort of Digvijaya, challenging everyone. And he went to Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. He heard, oh, these are very, very learned scholars, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and he challenged Sanatana Goswami for a debate, and Sanatana Goswami said, oh, I don't know anything, I just... Then, if you don't know anything, can you sign here that I defeated you in battle? Yes, yes, no problem, you know, like, just get lost. So Sanatana Goswami was in it. And then this scholar goes to Rupa Goswami, and Srila Rupa Goswami has a similar approach. He's like, yeah, I don't care about your debates. No, but you can you sign here that I defeated you? Yes, no problem. Okay, get lost. I don't have time to waste it, stupid people. And then this scholar goes to Srila Jiva Goswami. He says, look, I have defeated Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. you want to fight or just want to sign directly, you know? Like, and Srila Jiva Goswami says, okay, let's debate a bit, maybe. Because Srila Jiva Goswami is in this mood that I have to protect the reputation of my gurus. You know, like, these are my gurus, and I have to protect the reputation of my gurus. And he's like, okay, let's do it. And of course, Srila Jiva Goswami is such a learned scholar that he defeats this guy. And sometimes the answer is that you avoid the challenge, and sometimes the answer is, let's go, let's try. Let's give it a try. So this depends on the circumstances. As a side dish, Srila Jiva Goswami got in trouble for defeating this scholar. And Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami found out they were very angry. Like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting time with this? Why are you so proud that you have to show? These pride people have no place in Vrindavan. I think he was expelled from Vrindavan for some time for this. Anyway, so similarly, you can sometimes have these challenges. You go in Sankirtan and there's these atheistic people or these Christians, these fanatic Christians. And then sometimes you have to discuss with them, and most of the time you're like, okay, thank you, it was nice to meet you. And you just go away. I have to run. I have to go somewhere else. I don't know where, but anywhere. Another side dish. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that amongst logicians, I am the conclusive truth. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that there are different types of argument. There's one type of argument where you support the other, it's called Jalpa. There's one type of argument where you are like trying to just defeat your opponent. It's called Vitanda. And there's another argument which is meant to establish what's the truth. And of course, this is the best. It's not many times the idea is not to just argue around, you know, like, oh, my car is bigger than your car, my this is. But the point of argument is to establish the truth. So there's not so much a point in arguing just to prove that you're better than the other person. But sometimes you can argue for the benefit of somebody, either for the benefit of the person in front of you, or for the benefit of someone who is there. You know, like when you're challenged, and you, like Lord Chaitanya had some disciples there. So you can say, okay, maybe this person will not understand, but these other persons will understand. So you can do it. Okay, good. So this example of Keshava Kashmiri is very, very instructive on how to deal with high-profile people. Sometimes you meet these people who are like high class, or at least they think they are high class. From Vedic perspective, they might not be so high class. And then it's good to see how Lord Chaitanya deals with this kind of people. It's more or less the same technique he uses in several cases. And I'll just... So first, Lord Chaitanya is accept, okay, this is high-class person. He's very proud. He's very advanced. So I will take the humble position. Like, yes, I accept that you are so high-class. This is the first thing he does. He says, the Lord said, yes, I'm known as a teacher of grammar, but factually, I cannot impress my student with grammatical knowledge, nor can they understand me very well. So first Lord Chaitanya is like, his Keshava Kashmiri is puffed up, and he's puffing up a bit more, you know, like he's putting more. like, she says, my dear sir, whereas you are a very learned scholar in all sorts of scriptures and are very much experienced in composite poetry, I am only a boy, a new student, and nothing more. I don't know anything. So this is what he does. Also, there's other cases like this with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He does the same thing. With Prakashananda Saraswati, he does the same thing. With Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is not so proud, but he's like, okay, I have to teach you. And the Lord says, yes, yes, no problem. Yes, yes. And he listened there 7 days. He just listens. Yes, yes, yes. And with Prakashananda Saraswati, he's just waiting there in a dirty place and takes a humble position. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know. It's good. Also, if you want to get rid of people, these people who come to challenge you, you can use this technique. You know, I don't know anything. I'm stupid. I just distribute these books. I don't know. I think the answer is in the books, but I don't know. You know, like I guess. But after this, you can go to the next step. If you feel like today, you feel like, okay, maybe this there's some benefit in this argument. Maybe he shows some little eligibility. Then you can go to like, and then after glorifying, Lord Chaitanya says, yes, yes, let's see, okay, let's do it. And he's presenting this in a way of saying that. Yes, I'm already defeated. No, so it's not. This is not a question, but I just want to see how learned you are. No, yes. So this is a general thing. You accept. Oh, you are very, very advanced. And yeah, I'm just want to see for my own instruction how advanced you are. And he says, therefore, I desire to hear your skill in composing poetry. We could hear this if you would mercifully describe the glory of Mother Ganges. He says, okay, can you, well, you're so advanced. I'm sure you can write some verses on Mother Ganges. So, of course, these proud people, they tend to like you if you worship them. You know, everyone, if you worship someone, they think you are his devotee. So here, Keshava Kashmiri accepts this sort of challenge, which is not, doesn't seem like a challenge, but it is. and he says, when the Brahmana Keshava Kashmiri heard this, he became still more puffed up, and within 1 hour he composed 100 verses describing Mother Ganges. It's quite good. So he composes 100 verses, and the Lord continues glorifying him. He's like, yes, the Lord praised him. Think, sir, there is no greater poet than you in the entire world. He's like, oh my God, you're so amazing. And then he starts a bit, you know, like putting some some things in. So he says, your poetry is so difficult that no one can understand it but you and Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. which is a bit sarcastic way of saying that what's with this crazy poetry? just you and Mother Saraswati are learning. This Keshava Kashmiri was a devotee of Mother Saraswati, so that's why. And then he goes straight to the point. He says, but if you explain the meaning of one verse, we can all hear it from your own mouth and thus be very happy. He says, yes, yes, okay, you said you composed these verses. Maybe you can explain one verse. Let's choose some verse, one of them, you know. Like the Digvijay Keshava Kashmir inquired which verse he wanted explained. The Lord then recited one of the 100 verses Keshava Kashmiri had composed. So the Lord recites back his one of these verses. Says, and this is first moment when Keshava Kashmiri realizes, oh, maybe he's not as stupid as it seems. Like sometimes we go like this in Dhoti, you know, and people draw like, oh, pff, a challenge. And then you say something and they're like, oh, maybe maybe they are not as crazy as they seem. And he says, well, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to explain the meaning of this verse. The champion, very much astonished, inquired from his as follows. I recited all the verses like the blowing wind. How could you completely learn by heart even one among those verses? So actually, this Keshava Kashmiri was speaking these verses, but he was reciting in this like, you know, like he was speaking like this. When, sometimes you hear these brahmanas, they recite mantra. You don't understand anything what they are saying. You know, like they're like, and so he's speaking these mantras a bit in this way. And then, but Lord Chaitanya is, remembers all these verses and tells him, oh, this verse, exactly this verse, you know, like, I want you to tell me something. So we see that here being humble is not enough, you know, like, of course, Lord Chaitanya is humble, but he has also some qualification. He's not just humble, yes. So here the Lord is showing for some signs of qualification. Like, yes, okay, you are very learned. And he gets him to the point where he's like, okay, you are learned, you know some things, I also know some things. And this is the same tactic he uses with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, with Prakashananda Sarasvati. He says he starts very humble, and then he starts also saying some things. Like, for example, when Prakashananda Sarasvati is asking, why don't you study the Vedanta Sutra? Then Lord Chaitanya says, first he says many things, so that my spiritual master says I'm stupid, so I should just chant Hare Krishna. But then at some point, after getting their attention, she says, yes, maybe if you want, I can say something on Vedanta Sutra also. So then he's teaching them Vedanta Sutra. And okay, he's quoting, he's very, very paka, you know, actually. Like very scholarly. This is just this humbleness, this, oh, I don't know anything, is just a cover. Inside there should be like, okay, I know what I'm talking about here. So, yeah. Similarly with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's in the same mood. He's like, yes, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, you are not asking any questions. Why don't you ask? You didn't say anything for 7 days. He says, well, I don't understand anything about what you're saying. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, yes, then you can ask some questions. No, I understand Vedanta Sutra, but I don't understand what you're saying. So it doesn't match. And then there's quite a debate, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya doesn't go like, oh, yeah. Whatever. There's some strong debate there. So this is a tactic that we can use. We can pretend that we're very humble and we don't know anything, but we should know something. We should be ready for a debate. Srila Prabhupada wanted this, and they had these morning walks. And every day Srila Prabhupada would ask, so what are they saying? What are their arguments? And he would just smash all their arguments. And the next day, they would say, okay, so what are they saying? And he had these mock fights with his disciples, you know, like that we, and this, Srila Prabhupada wanted this, that we read the books, we study the arguments, and we can debate with people when needed, you know, not all the time it's needed, but sometimes that can get into the debate. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had also this approach. He sent his disciples out for collecting, and they also discussed with people. And they had to answer all the questions people had. And if they didn't know some answer, they would go back to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and he said, okay, this person had a question, we don't have an answer from. And they would go back. And then they had in the morning class, which was like 4 hours or something, they would say, okay, so what are the questions you couldn't answer yesterday? And he would send them back with the answer. So, yeah, the spirit is supposed to be like that. So here Lord Chaitanya starts showing some qualification. And then... then they go, because I'm a bit short, then they go straight to this verse. And he says, Lord Chaitanya says, Lord says, now kindly explain the special qualities and faults in this verse. Like, oh. Lord Chaitanya, he's very humble, very cultured, but he's like, okay, what's this fault here? And Keshava Kashmiri says, there is no tinge, not a tinge of fault in that verse. Rather, it has the good qualities of similes and alliteration. The Lord said, my dear sir, I may say something to you if you will not become angry. Can you explain the faults in this verse? And Keshava Kashmiri says again, yes, the verse you have recited is perfectly correct. And then he bluffs him. He says, oh, you don't only know some basic grammar, so how can you judge this, what I'm saying? And then Lord Chaitanya says, yes, I judge some basic grammar, but I also learn how to judge these verses. So then he says, Lord Chaitanya, my dear sir, in this verse there are five faults and five literary ornaments. I shall state them one after another. Kindly hear me and then give your judgment. So Lord Chaitanya says, yes, okay, in this verse there's five qualities and five faults. And then he explains this, which is, this is quite a technical part, so I will not go into it. It's too technical for me also. And then the Lord says, although there are five literary ornaments decorating the verse, the entire verse has been spoiled by these five most faulty presentations. So she's really heavy. And he even quotes, he says, one's beautiful body may be decorated with jewels, but one spot of white leprosy makes the entire body abominable. So it's very, he's very heavy on Keshava Kashmiri. And after hearing this explanation, Keshava Kashmiri is like struck with wonder. He's like, nothing left to say, you know, like it's too clear. And that's okay. So at this point, Keshava Kashmiri did understand it takes a bit more humble position. He's a bit more okay. This guy is superior to me, so okay. And also Lord, when he takes the humble position, Lord Chaitanya also changes his approach to him. You know, like sometimes you can see you have people devotees who are very proud, and sometimes some devotees smash them. And then they think, oh, this devotee has something against me. And then they smash them, and when they become proud, also this devotee who is smashing them, he's like, okay, that's it. Now he's humble, he's a nice person, no need anymore. And it says that when the poetic champion was thus defeated, all the Lord's disciples sitting there began to laugh loudly. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them not to do so, and he said, Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't laugh. It's okay. Now he's humble. We brought him where we want him to be. It's okay. Now he's our friend. he's going. And Lord Chaitanya continues, please go back home, and tomorrow we may meet again so that I may hear discourses on the Shastra from your mouth. So Lord Chaitanya goes back to this humble mood. Yeah, okay, let's meet again tomorrow. So, and then this poet goes back back home, and then he's praying to Mother Saraswati because he's like, what's happening? What happened? What just happened? This boy smashed me to pieces. What happened? And Mother Saraswati says, in a dream, the goddess informed him of the Lord's position, and the poetic champion could understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Person. So the next morning, Keshava Kashmiri comes and he surrenders to Lord Chaitanya. So this is also one of the classic dilemmas. Sometimes people have this dilemma. I'm worshipping Lord Shiva. Would he be angry if I would start worshipping Krishna? I'm worshipping Durga, or would she be angry if I start worshipping Krishna? And then you see that here Mother Saraswati, she's like, okay, finally, you got my real mercy, and my real mercy is that you should start worshipping Krishna, not me. You stupid. And there's even this case with, there's this dilemma with Jesus Christ. You know, like some people are attached to Jesus Christ and they come to Krishna consciousness and then they are torn, they are split, you know, like I want to worship Jesus Christ and I want to worship Krishna also. And then there's, if you think, what does Lord Jesus Christ want? He wants you to worship God. And Srila Prabhupada explained that Christ comes from Krishna. So this Jesus, the son of Krishna. So he's coming to teach people how to worship Krishna. There's even one incident with one Sankirtan devotee. He's knocking on one door, and there's this person who is opening the door. He says, oh, I was waiting for you. So like, yeah, you were waiting for me. Yes, just come inside, I will explain. And then he comes inside, he sees this big poster with Jesus Christ, and he's like, okay. And this person explains, yeah, I'm worshipping Jesus Christ every day. And yesterday he came in a dream and he told me, tomorrow some monk will come and knock on your door, and he will bring some books, and you have to buy every book he gives you. Please do that. So yeah, just this is a more or less funny incident. So Jesus Christ also wants people to worship Krishna. So that's what they're actually teaching. Okay, we'll stop here. If there's some questions, concerns.
Experience what you're talking to now. When I start to follow,
No, it's okay. Can go in English also if you want, as you wish.
No, just microphone.
The microphone.
Thank you for a nice lecture. When I started 3 years before Bhakti Yoga, I really, my grandma is teaching Beruk in Beruk school for
the church,
yeah, Christian Kirk Church. Mm-hmm. And we'll be all every day in church. And for me, the really big change. And I cried. crying one time in the picture of Krishna to Jesus, and very in one moment, like Jesus saying, "What's the matter with you, Natakachandika? I am just son to God. It's everything. It's okay."
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not.
You see, when we go in a kirtan, I still go in a church in Krishet Mautark for a couple of minutes because I still need this. I can't put back in my head. I can't this, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Srila Prabhupada says that Jesus Christ is Shakti Avesh Avatar. He's empowered personality. And he came to teach love of God. So in Krishna consciousness, we're teaching people next level of how to teach, how to love God. Because in Christian church, they have no idea what God, about God. You know, like, they, how does God look like? What's he doing the whole day? You know, there's practically no information. There's some information about Jesus Christ, but and there's this reference that God created man in his own form or something like this. Mm-hmm. But that's it. So there is no information. So this you know, like, this is next step. Like, if you're Srila Prabhupada said, if you're sincere. Nobody knows, we know, why don't you take it?
Mm-hmm. I have a peace in heart now. I'm not confused anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the idea. And of course, Jesus Christ, we show all the respect, mm-hmm. Like we show to many. But at some point, you cannot follow five paths. You know, like, you have to follow one. And the idea is that this Christian path is not very clear. I mean, nobody really knows. If you go and ask what's the path, maybe some people know, but it's not really very clear what does Jesus want, because also, I mean, the Bible was changed, you know, that's known. And I mean, the message is still there, and if you read Bhagavad Gita and then read the Bible, you'll recognize the things. But if you just read the Bible, you'll not understand anything, you know, like. And there's many, like, Srila Prabhupada is always criticizing the fact that they eat meat. It's like, abominable. So, yeah, you know, like, this is next level. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah. Of course, we should preach in such a way that we encourage people to do more, not, you know, like, because if you just... destroy people's faith in Christianity, then you're not doing so much, you know, like, you're actually doing wrong, because he's on some path, and maybe it's not very clear, but then if this person transforms into hardcore karmi, he's a step back. So you should try to give them more, and if you can see then that they cannot accept more, then you just encourage them to, at least go to the church, you know, like, at least do something. I don't know. Okay. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.